Do you know the LA Kings have their own culinary partner? It's Superfood, celebrating 10 years and over a million meals served. Since 2020, the Kings have trusted Superfood to fuel their players. Now through Simply Lunch, you can bring that same performance-driven food to your office. Because when people eat better, they work better. Visit MySuperfood.com. That's MySuperFD.com. Or call 213-973-6145. Qualified companies can enjoy a free lunch for up to 10 managers.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
6:05 remaining in the game. 5-4 Vegas here at T-Mobile Arena. In comes Byfield. Left circle. Byfield centers. Tip. They score! On the doorstep, Brent Clark crashes the net. And with 6 minutes to play, it's 5-5 in Vegas.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. Sometimes a recording schedule works out, sometimes it doesn't, but in this particular case, I couldn't be much happier with how it worked out. I had a chance to sit down with defenseman Brant Clark before the season started, and this episode was always going to be released today, Thursday the 9th of October. I had no idea Brant Clark would score the game-tying goal against the Vegas Golden Knights last night. I had no idea that through two games, the Kings would have allowed 9 goals and that Brant Clark would have been on the ice for none of them. So with all that having been said, here's my conversation with Brant Clark. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to All the Kings Men. I'm joined today by defenseman Brant Clark, number 92 on the ice, number one in your hearts. How are you doing, Brant Clark?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
So my first question, I was doing a little bit of research on you. Sorry, I was cyber-stalking you. You obviously play hockey. Your brother plays hockey. Mm-hmm. Your sister plays hockey.
She does.
Your dad played hockey. Your cousin plays hockey. Mm-hmm. Your uncle played hockey. Your nickname is Clarky, yes?
It is, yeah.
Presumably your brother's nickname on his team is Clarky.
It is,
Your sister's nickname on her team is Clarky.
I believe so,
Your dad, your uncle, your cousin, you can't all be Clarky. So, like, when you go to a family reunion, when you're hanging out with your family, who's Clarky? Like, what do you call each other?
No, in back home in Ottawa, because me and my brother are always skating together and stuff like that, I'm usually just known as B, and he's G.
Okay.
And then
M, your sister?
No, she's Mac. And then my dad is just Dad. It's just Dad.
Sure.
But there's a lot of Clarky. I only get Clarky when I'm down here, but like everyone back home, like my trainers and everything, because there's no confusion. Everyone just calls me B. I got the hat on and everything.
I was gonna ask, is that because your name's Brant or is that?
I'm definitely more of a Blue Jays fan. I don't know. I like the hat. So
now B and G don't sound exactly like, but if somebody's yelling across the room really quickly and you don't necessarily hear it, do you and your brother ever both turn around and say what?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. It does happen.
Have you ever had a nickname on any team that wasn't Clarky?
Not really. No, it's always been Clarky on every team I've ever been on.
All right.
There's not much confusion there. So I think that's just pretty standard.
So from what I could glean from the internet, everybody in your family plays forward.
My sister plays D.
Oh, does she?
Yeah,
all right.
She does.
Well, Elite Prospects is wrong then.
Okay.
So how did you and your sister wind up playing D? Is it just because Graham played forward and he wanted somebody to defend him?
I think so. No. my dad was my coach originally when I was in novice and I played forward. And then he was annoyed that, like, none of the D could get the puck up. So he said, you should go do that. and I said, all right, fine. I was kind of annoyed at the start because I was, like, 7 years old and wanted to score goals. But, I don't know, I worked out. And I think it was a good call on his behalf.
I feel like you scored plenty of goals.
So it worked out well. And I'm happy he kind of overrid that for me.
Usually when we talk to a little brother whose older brother also plays, they're a goalie. How did you escape that younger brother curse?
I got lucky, I guess. He's a shooter too, so I don't know. I got really lucky because I wouldn't be surprised if going back he ripped a couple off my noggin, but no, I escaped it.
Now, when I was looking at Elite Prospects and I saw the profile for your sister, she was wearing her Lady Senators jersey,
mm-hmm.
and I love that jersey, that Ottawa Senators '93 mm-hmm. expansion era jersey. You've worn Barry Colts, LA Kings, Ontario Reign. I'm blanking on the name of your Slovakian team. I apologize. Oh. What's the sharpest jersey you've ever worn?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I like our black home jerseys right now, to be honest with you. I think that's the easy answer, and it's a iconic logo. So I'm going to go with that. But those Barry jerseys are really nice, too, for a junior team. I think we had one of the top jerseys and top merch, you could say. So I would definitely shout out to them. But I like our black home ones right now, for sure.
Apologies to everybody who's heard me say this. When last summer, when we found out about the new logo and the new jerseys, I saw the new logo. I was initially a little iffy about the crown. I've come to love it. I think it's gorgeous. Wasn't sure about the jerseys, but when I actually saw the black home jersey in person, when it came out of the box and I actually saw it, there's something about it, right? That's just like, it looks great in person. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Agreed. I think it pops. I think it looks good just on the ice too. And so I think that's a big tell. Maybe in the original photos you were just, I think that comes with a lot of jerseys though. I feel like sometimes I'm like, I just got to wait to see what this looks on them. Like sometimes you see a jersey revealed and they're like, oh, but then you see it on the ice and you're like, oh, that actually works well.
We're recording this before the season starts. I'm not 100% sure when it's going to air. So I'm going to ask you vague questions. You don't have to give me details. Have you seen any third jerseys that might or might not debut this year for the LA Kings?
I have.
Okay. Do you like them? I want to ask you.
I do. I like them a lot. Yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen them yet, but I have a pretty good idea of what they look like, and I've seen some supporting stuff, and they sound cool.
They do sound, yeah. Yeah, they've got, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Well, let's just keep it very vague, so none of us get in trouble.
No, they're really sharp, but I'm looking forward to throwing them on for sure. I'll say that much.
So I think you played in Toronto, right, as a kid?
I played in Ottawa until I was about like 13, 14. Then I moved to Toronto for 3 years.
Okay.
For the last 3 years of minor hockey. And then, so yeah.
So you've lived in Toronto, Ottawa, LA now, or the South Bay, which I insist on telling people the South Bay is not LA. Mm-hmm. It's the South Bay. Mm-hmm. Listen, everybody who lives here understands LA is perfect. The weather's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's a million things to do in LA. But you've lived in Ottawa, Toronto, and I'm blanking on the name of Slovakia. Apologies. Is there one thing that, if you could, that you would bring from any of those places to LA to make LA more perfect? And you can't say seasons.
Ooh, that's probably what I would have went with. LA is well regarded for, obviously, year round, just like it being nice. Like, I sometimes text my dad, like, I'm like, oh, it's like windy today, or it's like kind of chilly. And he's like, I just shoveled like 6 feet of snow. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's actually not that bad. Yeah. So, I think it's great out here for living lifestyle. You can't beat it.
So I've lived here my whole life, and I get very excited when people move here and I know that they don't know the area. I get super excited to tell them about weird little stuff like June gloom or traffic patterns, like the people might just not know about. And I'm just like, oh yeah, there's this weird little thing about LA. Is there anything like that where you just love telling people that little LA secrets you've learned?
LA secrets. The traffic is something you got to adjust to for sure. Especially when there's those motorcycle guys. I think that's caught me off guard.
Originally. Is that only an LA thing?
I haven't lived anywhere else in the States.
All right.
It's not a Canada.
Not a lot of motorcycle drivers in Ottawa.
No, my dad is a motorcycle guy, so shout out to him. And, right. We got a couple bikes in our garage, but my brother rides too. But I've never seen people just weave through and trust other people's sense behind the wheel that much.
We're a trusting city.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there nothing in contracts that would prohibit your brother from riding a motorcycle?
Maybe there is.
All right. Oh, whoops. All right. I said I try not to get you in trouble. I didn't say anything about your brother.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about this coming season. Last year, and I apologize if I'm getting the language wrong, but last year you were partnered with Joel Edmondson a lot. And the idea, I think, as it was presented, was that he would be sort of a mentor or stopgap or, you know, a complement to your style of play. He wound up playing more minutes and more games last year than he had ever previously in his career. But this year now they brought in Brian Dumoulin and Cody Ceci. Has there been any conversation with either upper management or the coaching staff about what your role will be, who you'd be likely to be paired with? Or does that play out over the course of a season with the coaching staff?
There's been conversations for sure. I think I've taken a lot of reps with Dumo just to start the camp, and that doesn't mean we're gonna stick together all season. That doesn't, but it might. You know, he's been great so far, and I've really liked playing with them. But like, I think they just want reps for all of us to kind of get used to each other. They're confident that me and Eddie know each other well. So if they ever have to go back to us, we're good. And they want me and Dumo to grow that kind of You know, communication and whatnot. So I think that's been going great as well. So I'm lucky that we have such a good defense core and so easy to communicate and everything like that. So yeah, I'm in a good spot, and whatever way it plays out, it'll work.
Brian Dumoulin and Joel Edmondson do not play the same type of game necessarily. Mm-hmm. Is there a type of defenseman that you like playing with that you feel accentuates your game better? Sorry, that sort of gets you in trouble because now I'm asking you to pick one over the other.
I don't know, because it's everything has their like advantages. I don't want to say disadvantages, but like strengths and like less of strength.
Areas of focus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know, because I feel like when you have guys that are like them that communicate as well as they do and just like kind of want to work off, they, you know, they tell me all the time they want to work off me and just kind of get me up in the rush and stuff like that. It's, it means the world hearing that. So I don't know. I think playing with the puck movers is always great, but, you know, playing with someone, you know, someone as physical as Eddie and someone he's, you know, he's always got his guy in the D zone and boxes out so well. And it makes me really, you know, I know who I got, you know what I mean? So it's that always helps. So I think there's differences, but I think just, you know, they're both really strong players and you make it work however way it plays out.
When I was a kid, power plays had two defensemen, three forwards, and the strategy was pretty much get the puck to the point. You got one power play quarterback and one guy with a cannon who just bombs shots and you hope for the best. Over the years, it's transition to one defenseman, four forwards. There's a lot more puck movement, a lot more creativity. Mm-hmm. The Kings now are rolling out five forwards on the power play, which means that you and Drew Doughty, we've sort of gone back forward one step on the first unit and back one step on the second. I don't mean to say back, but all of a sudden there's two defensemen on that power play unit. At least that's what we saw in practice. Mm-hmm. Have you ever played on a power play with two defensemen?
No, I would say... I guess that just shows I'm a young guy. But no, that's I wouldn't say so. I think it's always – I've always kind of grown up in the – like through junior and everything with the four forwards, one defenseman. I've never been on a team other – I mean, except for like the end of last season that has five forwards. But, I mean, those guys do it so well. It looks incredible when they're zipping it around. But, you know, I think where I'm positioned right now, you kind of said it goes – Dewey's got a bomb, and you know we can move it around. We have a lot of options on our unit, so I think it works out well, and I'm happy with who we got. And I think like I said, on that first unit, they move it around incredibly well, and it's fun to watch. So I think we hope they bear down, and if they don't, and we get out there, we're gonna try to get as many pucks in as possible, bang one in, and try to do our thing.
We talked to Jim Hiller a little bit about it after practice the other day, and I asked him about the two defensemen on the power play. You're also both right shots, which is neither here nor there, but it's worth mentioning. And he said, you know, when a power play is ending, the guy's coming out of the box, so it could be helpful to have two defensemen on the ice, you know, for that to stop any potential offensive things. Do they talk when they break down systems? And I know they do an excellent job of you know, talking about what they want to do. Do they get into that sort of thing with you guys, or is it more just positioning systems, what they expect, or do they talk about the first 30 seconds after a special teams play ends?
They talk about it for sure. I think they've almost talked about it a little less in terms of that because of now that we have two D on the second unit, but because it's always, I don't know, on the bench, like when there's 10 seconds counting down, they're like, and there was one D out there. It's like, hey, like D's got the next first forward. Like, we need to get two D out there. We need to get two D out there. But now that we already have two D out there, it's kind of everyone, I know I'm getting him. I know I'm changing for him. So it kind of simplified that. But I'd say before there was definitely more communication. Like, know who you have. Like, the D got to be ready to jump when the forward comes and just like be ready for the guy coming to the box and everything like that. But I think now it's me and Dewey are, you know, aware of the clock and everything. And so I think it's gone pretty smoothly.
Over the last 6-7 years, there was a lot of talk of like the organization has its own vocabulary, it has its own terms, it has its own systems. They want to make sure that everyone in Ontario understands the same things that everyone in LA does, so that there's ease of, you know, fluidity from players between the two clubs. Is the vocabulary, you don't have to tell me any vocabulary words, but is it that different from the rest of the hockey world? Like, do new people coming into the organization actually have to learn new phrases and make sure that you use them all the time? I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So a tick was a phrase that I had never heard before 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, I could be wrong, I hope I'm not talking out of turn, but it seems to me a tick is just a stick check or just getting your stick out on a puck.
Yep.
So I'd never heard it called that before, mm-hmm. but Todd McLellan would talk about it all the time and he'd say, you know, it's a good tick here, good tick there, whatever, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And if that's all it means, like for everybody to have their own vocabulary, I was like, all right, well, you're saying the same thing. Yeah, you're just using a specific word.
Term, yeah.
Or is it higher level stuff where like you literally have to take home a playbook and study it for a week to know what the heck anybody's talking about?
That's why I kind of paused the first time. It's because there's right. like there's terms, but like – and there's like we run certain plays and stuff like that. And there's like, you know, rims and like squeezes where it's like kind of a little different. But I don't know. I think like Dumo and Cease kind of like on in terms of D stuff, they figured it out already. So it's, okay. it's really not that.
Okay.
I think once you're around like the playing hockey, it's like, sure. okay, this is just another way of doing this, but yeah, it's been easy enough.
Along those lines, the coach and general manager have changed mm-hmm. in your tenure with the club. When there's that kind of management change, does the mood change? Does the tone change? Like Jim Hiller was here under Todd McLellan, so it'd be really easy for him to carry on a lot of the traditions that Todd McLellan established. But Ken Holland's brand new, and this is a terrible analogy to go back to high school or whatever. But like if you get a new teacher or a new camp counselor or, you know, you, whatever, like some things will hang over, but other things will just be totally different. I mean, what percentage of stuff is the same under the new, you know, new management?
I'd say like the mentality is still the same. I think there's been different talks, and I think Ken's kind of broken down more, like in a way, like when we did our opening meeting, like he was breaking down all sorts of like what we have to accomplish this year, what we're doing that. So in terms of that, that was a little different. But in terms of just our mentality, I think we just have such a good leadership core that's what as much as we want, we listen to the coaches and we, you know, we do what they say, and there are differences for sure. But I think then, you know, the preparation and the willingness to want to win. And, you know, we have the leaders like Drew and Kopi that have done it before. So I think that's kind of where that comes from. We want to all elevate ourselves to that level. So I think just because we have those guys, I think it's still, there's still definitely, you know, like a string that connects it. And that's still kind of the mentality we have.
Jim Miller's made it really clear that he doesn't talk to the goalies about goalie stuff, right? He mm-hmm. leaves it to Mike Buckley. He's not going to pretend to know anything about goaltending. And he's made it perfectly clear that DJ Smith is in charge of the defense. Mm-hmm. But he also told us that if a forward asked him to play with a certain other forward, he doesn't care. He's going to play the forwards the way he wants to play them. If you went to DJ Smith and asked him, you know, can I play with this guy, would he be more open to it than Jim Hiller? Or is that across the board coaching decisions like, no, we do what we want to do and figure it out?
I think he'd listen, but I think I don't, cause I'm kind of happy with however he puts it. And there's been we always make it work on the back end. We have had such a strong defensive team last year, and that's what's most important. So I don't think I'd ever do that, but,
sure.
but if that day comes, I bet you he'd listen, but I don't think that hasn't happened, and I don't see it happening in the near future.
We heard that Mikey Anderson's voice has gotten louder in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Who's the loudest guy in the locker room right now, in a playful way or a leadership way?
Drew.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you get a chance to meet Corey Perry this summer before he got hurt?
Yes, I've talked to him. He's a great guy. I mean, everyone's quieter than Drew, but like he's kind of sure. a soft-spoken guy. He's been great, and you know it's unfortunate what happened, but we're looking forward to having him back next month.
Kings fans will probably not appreciate me saying this, but because he's a villain amongst Kings fans, mm-hmm. but – Everything I've heard about him and my limited exposure to him as a guy makes him seem like possibly the nicest guy on the planet.
I would say, yeah. I mean, he's just a very soft-spoken, you know, nice guy that's the only interactions I've had with him. Like that we haven't. I mean, I skated with him twice, and those like cap and skates, but I haven't like been around him in like the competitive environment really yet. But you know, just sitting eating lunch with him, he's been great. So nothing but good things to say.
So then, last question, I'll let you go. What does a successful season look like for Brant Clark?
I just think, you know, taking the next step, and you know, really, in, you know, I think I did a good job, you know, in growth last season and learning kind of the league and learning, you know, to shake off, you know, rough, like, bad breaks or whatever it may be. But I think now is the time I got to, you know, kind of command it myself a little bit more and, you know, kind of make the smooth play and, you know, not be like, I don't want to have the, oh, he's a young guy, cop out answer. Like, I know I want to kind of be like, no, I'm here to make plays. I'm here to shut down guys. I feel stronger. I've felt stronger throughout camp. I felt stronger throughout preseason games. So I'm ready to kind of like just, you know, shut it down in the D zone, capitalize when I got chances in the offensive zone and, you know, just be a key contributor on a team that, you know, takes that step this year. You know, we haven't been able to do that the last few seasons, but, you know, I think, you know, being Kopi's last season, we're all driven extremely to get it done. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I want to be a key contributor in that. And I think I'm on the right path, but there's more to do and I'm ready to kind of get that going.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it, Brant. I'm going to call you Brant.
Yeah, sounds good.
And best of luck. We'll see you out there at Crypto.
Appreciate it. Thank you.